And we're back with more of River to River from Iowa Public Radio News. I'm Ben Kiefer. This half hour, we're joined live by Iowa Senior Senator Charles Grassley. Grassley is head of the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he joins us live from Washington. Senator Grassley, how good to have you back on the program. Thank you for making time for us.
Well, I'm glad I can, and thank you very much for helping any of us in Congress to communicate with our constituents.
Mm-hmm. We have a number of listener questions. We want to reserve some time for that, but of course, I want to have you react to the big political news of the week, the testimony this morning. I realize you probably had a very busy morning, may have not listened to all that much of the testimony. We did have the written testimony released by James Comey yesterday. I wonder, what is your overall reaction? What did you find most interesting and revealing in the written testimony?
Yeah, I did read the written testimony, so I can comment on that. I did pick up a point or two from some colleagues that evidently listened when I wasn't able to. I might use those sort of things.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that that I can compare what he said with what he said to our committee earlier is he did say that, well, it was the first question I asked him when we had an oversight hearing back in May, probably a week or so before he was fired. Did he ever leak anything, or did he ever authorize anybody to leak anything? And he said no, but my colleagues that heard it today said that he did admit that he did give to a Columbia University professor, a friend of his, his memo so it could be leaked to the New York Times so that a special counsel might lead to a special counsel being appointed, which was appointed. And then that brings up the question, well, why didn't he take the same procedure of deciding that a special counsel would be important in the case of Hillary Clinton? Mm-hmm. And then one last thing, and then I'll let you ask another question, is it's very clear now, even before today, that he had told the president three times that he was not a target of investigation. Now, Comey told that to me as chairman of the committee. He told it to Senator Feinstein as a member of the ranking Democrat on the committee, and he told President Trump himself. So if a president of the United States is not under investigation, then you wonder why he was hesitant to tell the American people that the president wasn't under investigation, because the cloud over the president as president of the United States is a very detrimental thing if people think he's being investigated, but he's not being investigated.
Mm-hmm. Also, the president, as we understand, implored James Comey to publicly clear his name several times. But in addition to that, according to testimony, President Trump repeatedly put pressure on the FBI director. He demanded loyalty. He asked that an investigation into an advisor, Michael Flynn, be dropped. Are these appropriate actions and words from the president to the FBI director?
You use the word pressure. I don't think Comey has said pressure.
I think he has characterized him in that way. With respect,
You kind of get into a he said she said sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, if there was pressure brought to bear, then you would expect that he would be, that it'd be reported as a crime and there'd be action taken. And obviously, I think the answer to your question is, and Comey didn't do anything about that. So after Flynn was fired, the president said that he hoped, I think this is what you're talking about, he hoped Comey would drop that review of the Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it's clear that nobody has ever been prosecuted, or it's a crime just for hoping something.
Let me play, if I could, Senator, a bit of audio from this morning. That was one of the most striking bits of audio. This is James Comey saying that the shifting explanations for his firing confused him. Comey says that Trump had told him repeatedly that he thought he was doing a great job and that he was well-liked by the FBI force. So let's listen to this approximately a minute of testimony from this morning.
So it confused me when I saw on television the president saying that he actually fired me because of the Russia investigation, and learned again from the media that he was telling privately other parties that my firing had relieved great pressure on the Russia investigation. I was also confused by the initial explanation that was offered publicly, that I was fired because of the decisions I had made during the election year. That didn't make sense to me for a whole bunch of reasons, including the time and all the water that had gone under the bridge since those hard decisions that had to be made. That didn't make any sense to me. And although the law required no reason at all to fire an FBI director, the administration then chose to defame me and, more importantly, the FBI by saying that the organization was in disarray, that it was poorly led, that the workforce had lost confidence in its leader. Those were lies, plain and simple. And I am so sorry that the FBI workforce had to hear them, and I'm so sorry that the American people were told them. I worked every day at the FBI to help make that great organization better.
Here we have James Comey saying those were lies, plain and simple, referring to the president's words that the FBI was in disarray and that the agents had lost confidence in Mr. Comey. Who do you believe here, Senator Grassley?
Well, I believe that what somebody wants to characterize as a lie, if somebody else was characterizing it as his view of how an agency is being run, when you characterize an agency how you think it's being run, you could be perfectly honest in your assessment of that, and somebody else could consider that a lie. And I don't know exactly what the president's reason was, but I had my own problems with Comey in other respects, one of protecting whistleblowers. Another one would have been about whether or not he was answering my letters on oversight, as an example.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's clear that the president clearly wasn't happy with Comey for allowing the public to think that he was under investigation when he wasn't under investigation. But when you get right down to it, if the implication is that Comey was fired, and he could have been fired for the investigation and the president not liking it, but the president would be naive if he thought that was going to have anything to do about the investigation, because I know the FBI well enough, they're going to do their job.
Right.
And just regardless of whether there's an acting head or a new head or no head at all, the FBI agents are going to get to the bottom of everything until somebody tells them not to, or until they complete their investigation. So I have all sorts of confidence in the FBI.
I guess a very simple way of putting this, or restating it, is a lot of this all comes down to who do you believe, James Comey or Donald Trump? Senator Grassley, who do you tend to believe? You know both of them. Whose version do you believe?
Well, it's kind of like you heard Comey say, my colleague said that he said several times, I'm not in the head of this person or that person, and I don't know what their motives are or what they're saying, and I'd have to give you the same answer that Comey gave.
No, but I mean, you could judge a person's character and what their past record is and say, I tend to believe this person over that person, can't you?
But here's the thing. It doesn't matter what I think about who to believe or not to believe. You got to go by the facts.
What do the facts tell you?
Well, the facts tell
about
me
about which version is the truth here.
Well, we're into this because we know that Russians tried to influence our investigation. There's all sorts of accusations, all sorts of evidence about that. There's no evidence whether or not they made any difference in the election.
Mm-hmm. Let me go to some listener questions. We're live with Senator Charles Grassley, good enough to join us from Washington, of course, reacting to the testimony this morning. Listener questions to that. We hope to get to some things not related to this, too. Tim asking via our social media, he's asking about what constitutes obstruction of justice. And I'll add to Tim's question, from what you know about Donald Trump's actions and words in his testimony, how close does what we know right now come to obstruction of justice? It's on a lot of people's minds, Senator.
Yeah. Well, first of all, we got a special prosecutor that's going to answer that question, and somebody with the ability and the reputation of Mueller's going to get to the bottom of it, and people are going to be satisfied when he comes up with an answer. The other one thing is that it's a legal in definition. I don't know whether I could repeat exactly what that legal definition is. But one thing, if there is a crime and if there was an obstruction of justice by the fact that the president used the word hope that the investigation wouldn't go forward or whatever words the president used, then that's something that only Comey heard, and he's head of the FBI, and if it was a crime, he would have a responsibility to report it. So based upon Comey not proceeding with any sort of prosecution or investigation along that line, then you have to conclude that it wasn't, in answer to your question or your listener's question.
Mm-hmm.
Also, Acting Director McCabe of the FBI said that there has been no effort to impede or obstruct the investigation. So if Comey isn't there, there's an acting director that Comey had great confidence in by the name of McCabe, and that's exactly what he said. So that's probably the best answer that I can give to your listener.
Here's a question from Ann, one of our listeners. You referred to leaks a little bit earlier. Ann asks, why are you obsessed, she uses that word, with leaks instead of allegations of Russian involvement in our elections and government? This has been a debate. Both can be true. Leaking is wrong, but do you not place allegations of Russian involvement in our elections on a higher plateau of importance?
Sure, and that's what I guess I just said that. But there are leaks, and then there are leaks. 99.9% of the leaks are not a violation of law, and those sort of leaks I welcome, and I've made a great reputation as a senator of following up on leaks. Although I probably use a different word, I call it whistleblowing. Mm-hmm. But when there is a leak, and we've had one this week, and then somebody's been arrested for, and then we had one back in February that nobody's been arrested for. But any leak that involves the making public national security information that's classified, that's a felony. And that's what I've been talking about, leaks being investigated. I don't want other leaks investigated because, quite frankly, I investigate leaks to make the executive branch of government under a Republican or Democrat president a responsible carrying out of the laws of Congress. In other words, to duly execute the laws of Congress, which the Constitution requires the president to do.
Senator Grassley, let's get away from the testimony this morning and the Russia probe. A question from Susan. Susan writes, I am a healthcare provider. A little bit of editing there. She jumps down and says, I am asking you to work for the people, your constituents, my patients. Please ensure that no one who currently has insurance will lose it. Please provide coverage, which means affordable insurance without deductibles, not just access to programs which hardworking Iowans may not be able to afford. She finishes by saying, Susan says, if you cannot promise that all Iowans will have coverage, I will personally need you to provide me with the names of the people you don't think deserve to have health care. Your reaction to Susan's comment?
Yeah. The only way that I could promise her all people would have coverage is if we had single-payer, 100% government-run program. That's the only way I could promise that. Anything else, like, for instance, if If people don't want to buy insurance, they don't have to buy insurance. Or let's say that the Affordable Care Act was back in 2009 and 10 when it was passed, was going to cover everybody. Well, there's still 29 million people don't have health insurance. So even Obamacare didn't promise everybody that they were going to have health insurance. And now your listener wants me to promise that everybody's going to have health insurance. That's unless you're going to do away with all private health insurance and have the government pay for everything. That's the only way you're going to guarantee that.
Ann, this is a different Ann, I'm assuming, that we had earlier. Ann in Lamont asks you, Senator, I would like to ask Senator Grassley if he will work with other senators and members of the House to muster the votes needed to override President Trump's statement of withdrawal from the Paris Climate Accord in light of the impact rapid climate change is having on agricultural practices, economies, infrastructure, human health, and our Earth's natural systems that support humans and wildlife. The United States cannot afford to not be at the table, be a leader, and take action in addressing climate change. What's your reaction there to Ann's comment?
I don't know whether Ann understands this, but this is a presidential agreement by Obama. It was never submitted to the United States Senate, so the, Congress never had a voice in it. So Congress can't have a voice in it unless, as long as a president made a decision to get out, just like a president made a decision to sign in. The only way I know that I would have a voice on that subject, if the president could do this, if he would submit it to the United States Senate for ratification, so it's really a treaty rather than just a presidential agreement. But I would assure her that I've been working for 36 years about global warming and climate change and everything like that when I've been the author of the wind energy tax credit, because in 5 years, Mid-America is going to get 88% of their energy from wind, we have 7,000 jobs created as a result of wind energy, and we got biodiesel, biofuels, ethanol, and all that stuff that is doing everything it can to cut down on our global warming. And the United States has done a pretty good job leading in this area, because we have reduced our CO2 intake back to 1992 better than any other country or any other part of the world has.
Back to health care, we know that the Senate is dealing with repeal, their own repeal and replace of Obamacare as we speak, or it has been. I don't know how you have been involved in that. We have been hearing in the news here on Iowa Public Radio and other news media that Iowa may be left with one or no insurers on the individual health insurance exchange in 2018. Now, Republican lawmakers have cited Obamacare as the reason for insurers pulling out of the individual exchanges. Insurance companies have said it's the uncertainty of what's happening now. The date has long since passed when Republicans had promised a repeal and replacement, and that's still not seemingly not on the horizon. Can you give us an update on where that is, where you see that going, when there will be a replacement for Obamacare?
Yeah, well, there's not going to be a complete replacement for Obamacare as much as most every Republican would like to do that, because we're under the rules of the Senate that we're operating under called reconciliation. You can only make dramatic improvements in Obamacare. But remember, every problem you can bring up about health care today is related to the failing of Obamacare or not carrying out the promises of Obamacare. But there are additional reforms that we'd like to pass that would lower premiums and a lot of things that would take 60 votes, and complete repeal could be done with 60 votes, but you can't completely repeal. So I would say our goal is to stabilize the markets, to improve affordability, make sure pre-existing conditions will be covered, and put Medicaid on a sustainable path. At my town meetings, what comes up most often is this pre-existing condition issue, and I agree with them that insurance should cover pre-existing condition, But if we don't do something pretty soon, because of the failure of Obamacare, pre-existing conditions will not be covered by anybody because of the collapse of the healthcare market.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in a process of doing what we can to give people maximum freedom, promise maximum choice for them. They'd only got four choices now under Obamacare. Let the people buy what they want and let the company sell what they want. And government's dictating what can be sold now.
We have just a minute left. Back to the top of the hour's news, the day's news, the week's news. Will the scandal, the investigations continue to stall the GOP legislative agenda when it comes to health care, tax cuts? Do you expect Congress to be continued to be stalled, even though both houses are now in Republican hands as these investigations continue?
Yeah, absolutely not, because you see on the Senate Intelligence Committee, there's only, I think, 18 members there. And so there's 82 other members to do other things. In fact, those 18 members aren't spending all their time on the investigation. But also, if you want to get it done quickly, don't forget that Mueller was recently quoted as saying it could take well over a year for him to get his investigation done. So people are going to have to be, patient, I guess. The agenda, so I would say the agenda isn't stalled any more than right now. When I get done talking to you, I will be voting on an amendment to the Iran sanctions bill. The agenda, so then, and also you got to remember that it took a year and a half to get Obamacare passed. So I don't know why people are so...
Because I think it takes some time
here this time.
Okay.
Thank you all very much.
Senator Charles Grassley, thank you for making time for us live from Washington.
Goodbye.
Goodbye now. River to River is produced by Emily Woodbury, Ben Stanton, and Lindsay Moon, with help from Robbie Broad. I'm Ben Kiefer. Thanks for joining us.